Nous voilà toujours en direct des RIA 2023, les rencontres transnationales anti-autoritaires qui se déroulent du 19 au 23 juillet 2023 à Saint-Imier, un petit village où est né l'anarchisme en 1852. Nous sommes au CCL, vous pouvez venir nous retrouver, il faut qu'on ait conclu, poser un interview. Nous avons évidemment toujours besoin de bénévoles, tous les postes. Donc n'hésitez pas à venir nous trouver ou d'aller à l'Espace Noir ou d'aller sur à la Kertim et vous proposer comme bénévole, ils vous trouveront une place. Voilà, on va continuer avec un podcast qu'on a enregistré en anglais sur le rôle des radios anarchistes. Je vous laisse avec ça. Bonne écoute.
So hello, dear people listening. We are like here in Saint-Imier, the big anarchist worldwide gathering 2023. We say hi from the anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio network. You can find us and our content
at a-radio-network.org.
So check out our amazing anarchist audio content that we all gather together all the time. And yeah, we've come here together to meet privately and have some internal discussions and planning, but also we made some public event for everybody who's interested to join and check out what we're doing and to maybe get started collaborating with us. And I don't know if you know, but actually since it's 2023 today, it's been 100 years that the first radio show was aired. Please, comrade, can you give us some more information about the radio history in Europe?
Well, I will try my very best, since what I have here is some handwritten notes that I took from a presentation by another comrade several months ago, and I kind of summed it up into this 5-minute presentation I'm going to give you. So I am going to be speaking from a Western European slash German perspective, because that's where I'm from and that's the history I know most about. And what we know is that already in 1924, so only 1 year after the first show was broadcast, the first Arbeiter Radio Clubs started forming. So groups of workers that were meeting to produce radio shows and also to listen to radio shows together, because very quickly it was found out that the technique of the radio, the technology itself, having a transmitter and a receiver, is something you can easily build by yourself and use it to, well, not only reach the masses, but also to reach your secret little working class group that you want to share your propaganda with and that you want to share with what you have been going through. And another like interesting history then comes during the Second World War, from also that time for me, the first real big symbol of an international radio network that is anti-authoritarian was when the anti-fascist comrades from Germany went to Spain, from where on out they were transmitting the so-called Feindsender. So this was like an anti-fascist newsreel that was being spread through shortwaves and reached Germany to like make counter propaganda to change, to counter the fascist propaganda, basically. And they did this from the parts in Spain that were still fighting against the Franco regime. So this is like another very interesting part. And then several many different things happen, and now I'm going to make a jump in history towards the autonomous movement that began in the 70s here in Europe. And within the autonomous movement, it was basically a rediscovering of what a great tool for an anti-authoritarian struggle radio can be. So we have data that shows that people from the movement between Hamburg, Zurich, and Italy were exchanging knowledge about how to build transmitters and how to make radios and how to start pirate radios. So in the end, late 70s until the mid 80s, there was really a big wave of autonomous radio stations, of pirate radio stations all over Europe. And I think this is also, especially Western Europe and also Eastern Europe. There's a small example I forgot to tell you earlier, because that's actually really nice. It was called the Black Channel Der Schwarze Kanal, from 1986. And it was a collaborative radio show between Western and Eastern German anarchists. So they used texts that were spoken in the GDR in Eastern Berlin, and they brought them to West Berlin, and then they were sending over the wall from West Berlin. But there was like, and interestingly enough, the two governments made the repression together. So yeah, and this is like, there's like many small examples and bigger examples from squads, from occupations, from moments where people really just were transmitting life while being carried out of buildings and so on. And that's why, and out of this, basically, the free radio movement in the German-speaking part of Europe kind of was formed. So as a follow-up to all these pirate radios. And up to date, there's, of course, still pirate radios. And the radio still, in moments of protest, is a very interesting format, not only because you can transmit live out of a protest, but you can also use the radio as a protest tool itself by setting up stations where people can publicly listen to the radio and they can call in. And then the station transmits music and brings people together and speaks about what is happening at this very moment at another part of the city, as we have, for example, also seen 2017 during the G20 protests in Hamburg. So yeah, this is like a very short sum up of a general history of why radio is a very anarchic tool.
Thank you very much for this recap. We've been now focusing on like German and European history of radio and the possibility that it holds for our movements. You've been also giving an amazing overview about how in Latin America, a radio has been used from the population, like from working class, from people who were in revolt to canalize their struggles. Can you please tell us again why radio is such an important tool in the history of your realm?
Yes, the communitarian radio, it's a very big tool in Latin America. And as the comrades say, it also began in Latin America like a little after in Europe, than in Europe in the 30s. And it has been a very good tool to make a popular education between the population. It has been used in different form of organizational process also, in political process. And it have been a lot of inspired of different parts of Latin America. I can, for example, talk about Paulo Freire, who is a teacher from Brazil, who also have this discourse of make this popular education. And radio is a very big and good tool to make that. Where you can also have all this the colonial discourse. I can think, for example, in Bolivia, it has been used to organize a protest against mining. It has been used in the under or against the dictatorship of Somoza in Nicaragua. It has been used also in Salvador. Radio Venceremos is like the most famous one. But there was another radio participating in that, using by the guerrilla. The Zapatista, you may know, have also used this tool with Radio Venceremos. No, Radio Insurgencia, sorry. And so on. There are a lot of examples of how this have been a very good tool to coordinate and to also like make easier, because it's also a very rural place in Latin America, so it's also easier to communicate with each other, to find out what's happening in the other territories, the local struggles. And well, I'm from Chile, so I also want to share the experience of the territory. Yeah, it was already used like in under the dictatorship, where it's very hard to get knowledge about what is happening. So there it was very important, Radio Moscú. But in the revolt, there was also, again, and it was in 2019, for those who maybe not know about it, maybe it's impossible to not know now. But there it was very interesting, because there was some days where there was a lot of boycott against media, organized media. So it was very important, and in the internet, Instagram, Facebook pages was cutting down. So radio suddenly become very big because you could take the voices from the street and put it in the radio, so you could find out what it was happening in different parts of the territory of Chile, but also in the local situation. For example, if under a protest, where the cops was and what was going on, because Latin America, as you may know, it have a lot of privatization of medias. So it is also a big fight, because if you are not in the media, the only version of reality, it's going to be from the powerful people who, of course, didn't want us to organize and didn't want us to know what was going on in the rest of the parts. And also to say, in Latin America, it's also like a popular and collective experience to listen to radio. Even if you don't like radio, you have to hear it when you take the buses. You have to hear it when you take whatever locomotion to transport. You listen it with the family. You listen it a lot. So we also think it can have a very revolutionary action, and it's a big tool also, as the comrades say, to hear what the neighbors also have to say. It is also a big thing in Latin America.
Thank you very much for this overview. So we just heard that on the one side, we can make radio part of revolutionary struggles that we engage with, like it's a powerful tool for like organizing and helping to bring to life and bring to success like massive strikes and massive protests and like big revolts, as we just heard, or anti-fascist organizing. And but it's also, as you just mentioned with the buses, it's also about listening. So we took a chance on like reflecting on the way that we all do media, because we are most of us like anarchist radio producing people, but we also tried to find out how we actually personally engage with alternative media and how we use that content that we draw from it to have some baseline for reflection on how to go on with our radio network. Who's willing to say some words about the discussion about personal engagement with alternative media?
So I think it's an interesting question, because we normally don't think about that part of the equation. We started around, we asked how people do actually do. Some people don't actually listen to radio, even though they do. But a lot of others did actually listen to podcasts. They used like methods of in their own groups. They have Signal or Telegram channels to distribute ideas of what is a good information source, or what podcast is nice, or whatever, or what radio show you should listen to. The second part of the question is like, what do you do with this content? And this was a more difficult question, also because it's the question most people don't really want to think about, maybe, or at least they don't do it. But there were some interesting answers anyway, because people said, yeah, first and foremost, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to read, to listen to this information from alternative sources. It gives you ideas and maybe also motivation to do actions or replicate things that are happening elsewhere. It gives you a first maybe basis for organizing yourself.
Also in this round, some really nice things were said about like how people like generally engage with the media. Also, like one person said, for example, they really try to read or listen to one thing a day to stay in touch with alternative and self-organized media and information sources. Other people were like, I read it every day because I see it like as my privilege to also share it then with my other comrades and use it again in my own work. And one comrade said that for them, it's also not so much when they thought about how we engage with the content, that it's for them not so much only about the content, but the empowering practice of radio is also really the making of the radio itself, like the whole technology around it, learning the technology together and getting to know more about this kind of stuff. Basically, I think you already said all the other things that we talked about. We also were like sharing a lot about what is our own concrete radio practice. So when we were talking about this question, we also came really into the talk about who does what, actually, to come to a picture how, because it is not, I think it's not possible to talk about how do you personally engage with alternative media and how do you use the content you draw from it without first getting an insight into the person's practice, so you can understand also what they take from it and how they engage with it. So this was also a big part of our talk, really like getting to understand the practice that each people have. And we all had very different practices. Some people are part of a regular podcast or a regular show. Others are just in a political group. And again, others have like this mobile radio station where they go to protests and then use somebody else's live stream. So it was all very different. And that was also, for me, an important part of getting to understand the engagement.
Speaking of us producing radio shows, I mean, we sometimes try to have a specific effect with how we do it, because, I mean, we all made the decision to try and go for an anarchist approach to radio making. So we were wondering, what effect does our contact actually have, or what is it supposed to have? Like, what effect would we love for our content to have? Please share some thoughts on that.
Hello, fellow comrades. So during our discussions in Saint-Imier, we talked with a few of our comrades, and some of the effects that we see our radio having is bringing alternative news to people, as well as giving a voice to groups who don't usually have one. This could be maybe people who are affected by climate catastrophes, for instance, in Hamburg, or migrants in Chile or in other places who don't have a way to organize themselves. They can reach out to their local radio anarchist stations and have this information shared, as well as reflecting on what is being said in mass media and what of it is true and what is fake news and how does this affect our communities. At the same time, one of the effects that we wish to have is for people to reconsider their convictions and maybe spread the word and make common agendas, for instance, informations about demonstrations, squat occupations or protests and others. And to give one example, an effect that the live reporting has in demonstrations is information sharing. For instance, people can find out where is the place that you should not be going, maybe, where are the cops amassing, where is maybe hitting people with water cannons or things like that. So staying informed and keeping our comrades safe. And also one effect that sometimes is present is maybe a negative one, meaning repression from cops, because it's not just our comrades who listen to our radio. The cops do too, and sometimes they can confiscate the equipment or maybe even make arrests. So we have to be careful for that. And maybe one of the more important effects that radio has in, for instance, for the student radios, there is a lot of new people who get the chance to participate in the anarchist radios. They get the information and then they take part, they learn new things, and they are able to help their communities.
So reaching out from that question to a pretty similar one that we also discussed about was what role does our media projects, our anarchist media projects, play in the revolutionary struggles that we share?
And we come up with many different ideas about that. We had like a comrade from Brazil talk about how they really try to talk from an anarchist perspective about all the things you encounter in everyday life, like to just give a narrative about the world and about yourself and the struggles that you face, like from day to day, how that has a how it plays into other forms of oppression and stuff like that, and what's happening in the world. And set it into the specific frame that we use to understand the world as anarchists. We saw a big potential in like us trying to connecting struggles all over the world by sharing news from the different movements and just report about what's going on elsewhere within our struggles, and to just come to a place of being informed and staying connected and try supporting us and be in solidarity in all over the world. There was also people who invested a lot of time and energy in trying to engage in within the public debate, just like try and give counter information to what other mass media might say, and to just like have more people know the truth, or have more people bring closer to our ideas, or to also promote more people to actually share their own thoughts while like sharing our infrastructure. Collectivizing the infrastructure that we try to collect and build up is also a big thing of what we can do for our movements. Just provide mics, provide telephones, provide some knowledge about how to amplify one's own struggle. And also maybe serving for like the communication logistics, as what mentioned many times before now, like during revolts, or even share knowledge about how to organize, like this educational part that you also mentioned in the talk about Chile and Latin America in the beginning, was something that we loved, like the idea of using radio to transport skills, like just to do educational skill sharing also with the means of audio projects. And be part of becoming, try to become part of strategic debates, because the world is giving us more and more challenges every day. The world changes, the ways the world oppresses us change, and we need to also adapt our strategies against that to be able to free ourselves from it. And these strategic debates need to happen somewhere, and people talking to each other can be a big part of that. We also loved like the feminist approach that radio that you can do within your community, for your community, is a part of care. It's part of care work. You can give appreciation to comrades, their struggle, their work, the risk that they face, just the challenges that they face, and the things that they're dealing with. And that's a beautiful thing to do for each other. And in general, I think the most important thing that we do as anarchist media projects is amplifying the things that we need to see growing in the world to achieve the world that we actually want to live in. So far for the role that we might be able to play when we play our part well. Of course, that's not all only easy. It doesn't come from nothing. So we also talked about what are the biggest challenges ahead of us as anarchist media and beyond that.
Yes. I can say that we have a lot of challenges. Yes, we have it, and of course it's not easy to be in a capitalistic world, and therefore it's also very important to see at the eyes of our challenges as radios. And what was talking, or what the topic was about the challenges, started about asking ourselves how to build a good objective as a media, because we had this discussion that in Latin America it was a little more like we want the objective is to achieve the most of the population we can, and we also have or want to use it like an educational tool, because in Latin America the education is reserved for the people who has money. Or the access to information, it's not so easy. So that was kind of our perspective, but there was also another comrade that had this idea that they wanted to make radio to the comrades especially. So the first challenge is to know what we want to do, so we start with a clear objective. Another challenge that you also talked about before was What do we do when we have like a young people that they are very interested in Instagram, TikTok, whatever, how to go outside this individual choice of what you want to see and what you don't want to see? And of course, it's a challenge because the radio is also broad in itself. You cannot say, oh, I don't want to listen to that song. It's part of the program. So it's also an exercise of, maybe listen to some song you don't like or a part of you think, oh, no, it's maybe a kind of boring. So that is a challenge. We don't have an answer, but there was some proposal. Some proposal was to make radio outside with the neighbor, like an open radio. Another form was to make a creative program, make program that you can enjoy, that not have to be like, a lot of theoretical discussion. Maybe if you want that, it's okay too, but it's also nicer to listen to radio that you also laugh some while and yeah. And also we talked about compromising and continuously making program. If we make program and are not doing it in a time and I don't know, every Thursday at 2 p.m., you know you will listen to this radio program. If that is kind of confusing, you also miss a lot of listening. So that was also the proposal. Another challenge was also to coordinate with other anarchist comrades that make other media. Because sometimes we have the information, we just have to make the way through. There was also the despatriarchalization of the radio and there was also this discussion of how to protect us. And some was saying, well, they protect like to not be in danger as anarchist. It could be to be very close. But it could also be if you are very open. If all your community know about the radio and you do radio, your voice is not easy forgettable. So that was also a discussion in the table. Yeah.
So hello to everyone. I am from Radio Kuruf. We are from Radio Kuruf with other comrades. So about the challenge, in my opinion, our radio, I don't know if you know, but our radio making info and put info about the Mapuche struggle in the center and south of Chile. And for example, we are... already with the networks, we make the info, but maybe the challenge are put the antennas in the lands, because in Chile, in Latin America, in as well. The communities of Mapuche or of all the native people live in the lands mostly, and the way to inform for these people is in radio, in FM or AM, because they don't have internet in the lands, you know. And so, in my opinion, maybe our next goal is. Be in the waves, you know, because the most farmer and indigenous people only have the radios to keep informed, and because I think we are finished with the first step, be in the social medias and the. A radio station on our web page and stuff, and we are already with connection in all of the country. For example, we are a member of the Red de Medio de los Pueblos, and Red de Medios de Gualmapu en Patagonia, and also the Red de los Medios Libres de América Latina. And this job is more technologically, but it's already finished. But the second, maybe the most important, is put our info in the lands, in outside of the cities. And this is our, maybe, or actually, or currently goal. We are work together with other countries from Argentina to make transmitters, and we some countries of our project are learning about how to make this stuff and put in the lands.
Thank you very much. That's an important technical step to react to the challenges ahead of us, and already a concrete concept for further developing our media approach. There's also been another group which discussed more broadly about strategies or concrete concepts for further developing. Do you want to share additional things that were on your mind?
As the history shows for what we speak actually before. For the history, you can see that actually the strategies was already made in the history, so it's nothing new we can discover. Only the biggest critic is now the media is very big outside of from our movement, Twitter and YouTube and everything around us. We still think that we through this process, we were still thinking that it's very important to focus on live, not live stream protests, which is usually now, but like how to make these moments when something happens that in that time the radio is on, actually. And how still to be present every day. Not every day, but when you do the shows regularly. This is very... It's very hard to do the radio 24 hours, 7 days. But maybe this is what we don't want to do. This was something which we all agree in. And I think also the concrete concept, how to go, was more on focusing on when the struggle is happening. And also in quietness, when it's not happening, how to still develop the education and so on. So it was a lot of said before, but maybe I can put three stories which we put out. One is about, let's say, migration 2015, when it was happening. Most of the media, they couldn't reach the migrants. Let's say in Slovenia was they need to be away from migrants camp 200 meters. So actually the state manipulates the media, so you cannot get the real information. So it was important to infiltrate and do the video in that sense, and also to make a report for the radio, let's say, to how to go in. So also this legal, illegal, it's very important that we, because the legal... mainstream media does, so this is not our role, actually. So we need to cover those who are not covered in the voice. So from this perspective, Voices of Anarchy could be the tool that, like this, also this network, also the history, it could be a tool of governments, it could be a tool of movements, activist movements, and it was always important, the information. So the strategies, actually, we know it for the history, but these concrete are more like how to go to these zones. And these strategies are sometimes very hard, how to, you know, to get all the information from the police case against prisoners or the court case, because usually you get it when it's done. You know, it's very hard. So maybe this is, we didn't have answers. This is a very hard topic, I would say. But it's some tools in the history which they were used, you know. Infiltration, for sure, it's one. How to get information which no one can get. And also bringing one concrete, let's say, it's bringing the radio to our communities. So it's not like we are far and calling, but also to do it live from the places we live in or doing in, and maybe find also voices which are not the part of the radio and to facilitate, to engage more people that they can come in and have the voice. Even they do mistakes like I do now probably and so on. It's not this, it's more how to catch the moments and so on. And also, anyway, we will cut if I... I think also the construct, how to do constructs as media as we are, it's very important to rethink before. I think we all do it. Because if we do overwhelm media, is the biggest problem that people are... You are repeating yourself. This is one thing we all... That if you do the reflection of 1 year of radio shows, you can see and the repeatings, which is logic. It's life is repeating generally. But how to find also the liveness, which changes. So this is also because I think most effective is this, that what is life actually? What when it's a moment that happens, when it awake people to go on the street to write things and so on. So otherwise, I think the history can show us a lot. I think about comrades, we all reflect, and so we were not so smart about to do, let's say, one strategy, this one will be the best. I think it's no one, but it's many. So that's it.
Thank you. So we are now, as anarchist anti-authoritarian network, radio network people, facing like all the challenge of trying to draw some conclusions from what we have been discussing here and also from what we all learned from the amazing projects that other comrades do. Is there specific things that you would like to take into account and draw something further from it for your engagement in the network or in your local radios?
I think when we start this network, it was coming from the idea that we need, you know, because reporting just from local, it's very hard to be to have a lot of media all the time or to speak about it. It's very hard. Yeah, enough contact. So I think these networks, it's very important. And I think we are in this process as a movement, not just bad news, but also the other radios are doing this. And I think it's very important to develop this network, which comes from the street, from our local communities, and to send it to Slovenia, let's say, to Ljubljana. That I hear what is happening in Chile from the street, from the people who are living there, not from the journalist's point of view, which is always a little bit anthropology or a little bit faked, or it's much more life and much more. So I think approaches are already here. The tools are here. We know how to use it. And I think it's more doing it more in a sense of networking, have more comrades and so on.
Yes. For example, for us, it's very important are connected with other comrades from Europe, from USA, because I told you before about our connection in Latin America, but it's important for us be connected by the share the what really happened in Gualmapu, in the Mapuche zone, to the world. Maybe we are a little lazy with the bad news report, but we retake the work in this year. But for example, these gatherings in BAB, in the book fair in Ljubljana, and here in San Imer are historical for us to share, to know another projects, make new comrades, new networks, new connections is important for us.
Just shortly, because you mentioned Bad News before, that's a monthly show that we all put together as Anarchist and Anti-Authoritarian Radio Network. You can find it on our website.
a-radio-network.org.
It's published monthly, and it has like English-speaking content from all over the world that we produce in our local radios. One thing that I have found really inspiring to be here, and I would love to also do it, but I don't know if we are skilled enough, but I've been talking a lot with the comrades from Radio Kuruf about how you already managed to become of such an important service for like the struggling comrades from the Mapuche community, that you're actually an infrastructure that people are really happy to use and are really relying on, and it's become an important tool for the movement itself to like reach out for you and share stuff with you and be like, hey, can you please share this? And like you said that like many, many messages reach you every day with like, please, can you share it, because it's important for us that it's shared. And I think doing like years of all this crazy work and effort that it takes to play such a vital role, that people, so in the moment people don't think anymore about what could we possibly like send this month, but like there's already a very alive and very strong, very resilient movement which has found radio as a tool to amplify what's going on and to feel like more safe and to feel more able to survive also all the pressure that's coming. I think that's very beautiful. And you also mentioned that you're doing a great job with like reaching also imprisoned comrades from the Mapuche struggle, because the connection is already there, and then you just keep it going and keep it alive by trying to send voices from outside inside and voices from inside outside. And this is something like I would love if we were able to kind of reproduce that at one day, maybe in 8 years. For example, I live in Germany, in Germany as well, to have been building this connection in the struggle, and then just making radio a very organical part that fits very well into resistance, which is going on. I'm very amazed by what you told me, and I hope we can try and become as anarchist as well in the future of our struggle.
It strikes me really interesting, two things that you say. Are you really thinking about what you could broadcast every month? Do you think there's not enough things happening to broadcast about? Don't comrades contact you and tell you things they are doing? Because I have like this, I don't know, I have a show every week and it's always too full, and I'm like, shit, I have to postpone things to next week. So I was like a bit shaken by like, come on, that can't be true, that you don't have enough things to broadcast about. The movement is indeed very lively.
I don't mean it quantity-wise. I mean it more in a question of that it's like strategically organized, and that it's like going in the direction of a concrete struggle. Because, I mean, I can like share an example. Like the last time we actually sat down in our local radio group and we're like, okay, how can we as a radio contribute to what we as anarchists try to do in the world, was like when the inflation was hitting very hard in the last months, a little years. Like we were like, okay, so what's actually like, okay, many, many more people are going to be suffering much more from poverty, you know, and like capitalism is going to go one more time really crazy on everyone. And how can we kind of try and be part of pushing like a strong working class anarchist resistance into existing and being more lively. And I think these are two different perspectives to take on specific struggles. I mean, of course, there's like so much going on, and it's there's all the time something where it's like, oh, that's like so important, or that's so crazy, that really needs to be spread more widely. But I think we sometimes also still face the situation that we are trying on how can we be part of the start of something which is going to be very powerful and able to actually collectively react to the collective challenges and the big issues, so to say, that we have, which is, I think, a slightly another level of like, okay, so this is an initiative there, and this is something really important, like piece of repression over there that we want to support the affected people from, or stuff like this. And I think this is something which I'm really looking forward to, if we have like
the combined strength of a revolutionary movement and like this little piece of part that we can play in it and the little piece of service that we can do as radio to just like organically I don't know the word.
No, I think as my comrade was saying, there's indeed, of course, no lack of possible information and topics. And indeed, we are being contacted by projects that say, okay, in 2 months we want to do that camp. Could you please advertise it or maybe do an interview with us and stuff? Of course, that happens regularly. But it's still not like that, that things that happen in the movement and like new projects and so, that it becomes like a very logical step to simply say, okay, let's talk to some anarchist radio project, let's put it out there. No, it's not yet there.
I have another question. That's right, which interests me a lot, and I would love to know if you have already some idea or some experiences with that, because we had it as a question in our discussion group about the role that we could play, because we talked a lot, also just now again, about how we can be of service to our communities and our struggles and how can we strengthen our movements. But we were also thinking about the other side of the coin. How can we weaken our enemies? Like, how can we make the systems that we are trying to fight? How can we be annoying to these systems? How can we play a part of weakening the oppressive structures? Or how can we be how can we, as radio activists, piss off people that are responsible for things that we hate? Do you have any experience with that, on how to not strengthen ourselves, but weaken the opponent as radio people?
I don't know if I will answer that, but because it's usually they don't listen our radios, except the police maybe, but. I would say, but they're not disturbed, they just watch, yeah, or listen. But I would say that it's hard to do spectacle on the radio. If it's nothing happening, I think sometimes, okay, we have a problem in our show and we do just music. And we comment music, and I think also the culture point of view shows some, you know, produce some thinking also for the people. And so sometimes it doesn't happen often, maybe in these 10 years, 5 times that we did the music, we say who is the band, what from where they are and what they do. But politically, but this is just when it's a crisis. But how to, let's say for me, the best radio shows were when something was happening on the street or when something was happening in the community, which was disturbed with the municipality, let's say. And I think that was... It's hard to do it on the radio, I would say. You could provoke it maybe in mainstream media, but you will not be there probably. But as our radio, it's hard this how to approach this, that you would disturb the governments or the people who are the politics or the capitalists or whatever. But I think it's more important that also when it's a gap, it's a gap. You don't have nothing to say. Okay, we will find something new. Sometimes this happens. But sometimes overloading, producing, it's also questionable because you're just speaking and speaking and speaking. But it depends also how much connections you have. I think this is also, I think for our radio show, this network or this external movements, which are not the part of our movement, helps us very a lot. So,
I don't know if to me there is a big difference between building up our movement and destroying the enemy, because I see myself primarily as an anarchist, and out of an anarchist position, I am an anti-fascist, for example. So I have my focus on building an anarchic world, and through building it, of course, some things have to be destroyed or are destroyed, but not, that's not where my focus is on. Like, of course, I don't want fascism to spread, but I feel like by putting the focus on what we are building up is the most annoying thing. For me, the existence of me as a transmasculine radio maker that does a show at 7 a.m. when people go to work and talks about anarchism and sex and all the things that people don't really want to listen to, but in actually I think they do. I think that is for me already a big emancipatory point, and also probably annoying enough to many people that they just turn off the radio.
One quick thing I just remembered about from our discussion group, because you just already mentioned anti-fascism quickly. There was one example of one comrade said that they would, and I like that very much, actually call like from the radio infrastructure like known fascists or like parents of fascists in the village and in the surrounding area, just being like, yeah, we know about you. We don't like what you do. And I think this like vague feeling of fear to be able to spread that into people that are really doing very harmful things and being part of like trying to uphold a world which is really dangerous to most of us. I think that's a good thing what we can do. Also just to give this vague feeling of like, we're watching you. I love that.
Okay, I personally think that the most disruptive thing that Anarchist Radio does is disrupt the narrative. Disrupt narratives of the state, disrupt narratives of capitalism, of patriarchy, by introducing other things. Like when there's absolutely no information, let's say, about the process in Rojava, then having an anarchist interview about this topic is a very important thing, because people will then have another view of point that disrupts the normality. And the other example would be really using radio as a live station tool on sites where you can engage with local populations. And this already might lead to some self-organization, to some disrupting of the normal way of dealings in the neighborhood. This is also a very disruptive way, which, of course, at the same time, is a very constructive thing. There's a duality of this radio making that we all are aware of.
Yeah, in my point of view, the main contribution of our radio is share the real info about the Mapuche struggle, because the mass media just make a terrorist image about the Mapuche struggles, and don't report about the political prisoners, for example. And for example, the main tool of the Mapuche political prisoners are the hunger strike. These people make a lot in 1 year, 3 or 4, and very long hunger strike, like 100 days without food is very tough. But the mass media don't cover the hunger strikes, for example, or what real happened with when the police come to the communities to kill and shoot the Mapuche children. Also, it's very hard, but the mass media don't cover it. We try to be the voice of the communities, and this is our main goal for make radio, make not only radio, we also make videos and other documents in paper, you know, all the medias, all means necessary.
I I think another very important difference between like mass media and our own DIY anarchist media is what you just said, like what we cover, what we don't cover, like what is censored and what is not, and what we try to bring to life. But also I feel like generally like oppressors have the general feeling that the majority of the society is on their side. Like for me, often I feel like if I intervene in an oppressive situation, like everyone's kind of surprised. Because people usually feel like, okay, I'm allowed to be oppressive because this is how the world works and everyone's kind of going to be accepting that. And that's what I really love also as a potential that we have as anarchist media, that we can be this surprise to like oppressive systems or oppressive people, that we're not on their side. And especially if we kind of, like you also said, what you do on your show with Radio Kuruf to keep an appearance. I mean, it's not saying we don't, I'm not saying we have to, but it's one too that we can choose. Like if we try and keep an appearance of like how we talk and how we dress or whatever as like this classic, I don't know, journalism, media people, then it can be really amazing to see how, for example, I don't know, one example that I just thought about is we had like these wild strikes of migrant workers in Berlin in the last years quite often. And I, for example, also tried like for our radio to go there and talk to the workers that were on strike. But I also tried to talk to the manager who was on site. And I was like saying like, "Ha, I'm from a radio." I didn't say which one. I'm just saying, "Hey, I'm from radio. What's going on here? Why are you here? Like, why don't you give these people da da da?" And he like really started to be like, "Yeah, you know, like we're in Germany and law and order and the company and the safety of producing, blah 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 blah." And then I was like asking questions or like telling him stuff where like, "Well, we think it's wrong, and why don't you give them just like the wage that they deserve, or why don't you give them the gear that they need?" And he got like super angry because he was really not expecting the fact like someone would actually be on the worker's side, coming like from the outside of society, like from this pseudo journalist perspective. And that got me thinking, because I was like, maybe you can actually also have an effect when you like disguise as this classic like journalist person, but then are in strong solidarity with the, what we say, with the disruptive elements of the current system. And I would like to, I don't know, carve out this path and find more out about the power that maybe could lie there, or maybe not.
I think what you just said also brings me back to what the comrade earlier has just said, namely the point of positionality. And that I think this is the big strength. No, that's why it's an anarchist radio network. So we also always can only talk from this subjective and also very political point of view. And it transports into everything we say and in the way we do a show and an interview, not only into content itself, which I think is also something that I've been thinking a lot about in these past days.
So I think we are kind of like close to covering it all up. Is there anything more that you think is very important to take away from this gathering that we're having in Saint-Imier as anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio network? Is there something which is important to you, so you want to share it before we close this?
Yes. We will make a presentation about our documentary by Radio Kuruf from the about the Chilean revolt in 2019. So. See you on Saturday at 8 p.m. in the cinema near to the church.
Okay, I think that it was really a great opportunity to meeting new comrades, new projects. We met a lot. Actually, I was surprised how many there were. At the presentation, there were 70 people, and more or less at least 55 were actually participating in some anarchist media project. That was amazing, and I'm really curious to see how this goes forward.
So like one last shout out, if you are listening to this and you're doing somehow anarchist media, maybe especially anarchist audio based media, feel free to contact us. And if you want to be part of our network, just say hi. You can find all the contact information, like our email address and everything, on our website
a-radio-network.org. But we don't have a specific email for the network, so feel free to contact any participating project or contact us via our Mastodon contact, which is aradionetwork@collectiva.social.
Voilà, nous sommes toujours au ERIA 2023 qui se déroule à Saint-Imier du 19 au 23 juillet 2023 pour célébrer l'anarchisme et sa naissance en 1872 ici même à Saint-Imier. Nous allons poursuivre. Donc évidemment, comme d'habitude, nous avons toujours besoin de bénévoles. Vous pouvez vous présenter à la CARTIM, vous pouvez aller à Espace Noir, vous pouvez indiquer que vous êtes prêt à participer.